got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I'm excited about the college football season. We're like a month away. How did that happen? And I think when the games start being played, it will be more fun than talking about the portal, NIL, realignment. Are you having fun with those things? John Wilner, he is the co-host of Canzano and Wilner, the podcast. Our latest episode just about to post. We talked about the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12. Make sure that you are subscribed to that podcast wherever you can find it. Wilner joining us now. How are you, man? I haven't talked to you in a couple hours.
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, we did cover a lot of ground on that podcast.
Let's dip our toe into the conversation about the Big Ten dipping its toe in Vegas. What is Tony Petitti doing by having the women's and men's conference basketball tournaments in Vegas in 2027 and 2028?
Well, I think he's seeing if Vegas works for his conference before they move the football championship game there. And, you know, that game is scheduled for Indianapolis for their through 2028. And I think if those basketball tournaments work well in Vegas at T-Mobile, they will move the football title game in 2029 or 2030. I don't think it'll be there regularly or, you know, annually, but they may rotate Indy and Las Vegas, something like that. Maybe put it in L.A. every once in a while. I don't know. But I think that's what they're doing, is making sure Vegas works before they move the big event there.
Yeah, and the Pac-12 did that back in the day, and it worked beautifully. Why didn't the Pac-12 figure that out sooner? Like, you know, Pac-12 first started, I believe the women's tournament was in Seattle, the men's was at Staples Center, tried L.A., then found Vegas, conference championship game in football. I can remember that first one was at Autzen Stadium, where Rick Neuheisel and UCLA played against Oregon, and then they went, you know, hey, let's go to Levi's Stadium, then to Vegas. Why were they all so slow getting to Vegas?
Well, I think the contract they had with Levi Stadium was such that they couldn't get out. Once they realized they wanted to go to Vegas, they needed, first of all, they needed the facility built in Vegas, Allegiant Stadium, for the Raiders. So they were waiting for that. And then they had the contract that bound them to Santa Clara for a while. And I believe they were going to move in 2020, but then COVID hit. So that delayed it to 2021. But, you know, a lot of it was just waiting around for Lincoln Stadium to get finished.
John Wilner with us. Wilner, you wrote this week about the Big 12's creative television strategy. Brett Yormark talking about, you know, new windows, new opportunities. You had a really creative piece. Encourage people to check it out at WilnerHotline.com. But give me an idea. The creativity that is out there, is there opportunities that are untapped still, or has everything been tried?
Well, I think the thing that has not been tried is playing on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, right? Everybody's out of work. Everybody's in the football mode. There's no games. So why wouldn't the Big 12 or anybody else play a game at 8 o'clock Eastern on the night before Thanksgiving? You get a huge audience. It's a little complicated because then you have to account for a Wednesday game in your scheduling for those participants, because they can't play the previous Saturday. You can't go Saturday, Wednesday. So it actually disrupts your schedule for a couple of weeks, but I think it's worth it. It's a completely competition-free three and a half hours of prime time. The other thing I wonder is if somebody, Big 12 maybe, is going to think about going on Sunday night when the NFL's over, at least when the NFL's afternoon games are over, and kind of try to take on Sunday night football, which I know is a behemoth. But, you know, there are college football fans out there that would prefer a good college game, Utah-Oklahoma State, say, or, you know, Baylor against ASU, you know, a college game over the NFL game. I think there's an audience out there. So we'll see if the Big 12 and Fox will think about doing that. Fox could promote the game throughout their afternoon NFL matchup.
I had a Utah fan reach out to me that has noticed that the Big 12 fans are not being kind to Utah fans, not welcoming. What do you think that's rooted in? Is it as simple as Utah's good and the Big 12 does not want an outsider to come in and win that thing, or is it BYU related? What is it?
Well, I mean, I'm sure part of it's BYU related. I mean, that's a huge rivalry, Utah-BYU, and any chance one of those fan bases has to take a shot at the other, they're going to do it, which is why it's a great rivalry. But I think some of it is that Utah's coming in, and they are, I think a lot of people think they're the favorite, and the Big 12 folks are not thrilled with a newcomer being the favorite, thinking like it's, you know, the best program. So I haven't seen anything from Utah that leads me to say, you know, they're providing bulletin board material, but I think it's generally that a lot of media predictions have the Utes winning the conference and going to the playoff, and that's rubbing some Big 12 fans the wrong way. But the bottom line is that conference is wide open. Without Texas and Oklahoma, there's, you know, parity is the ethos of the Big 12 moving forward, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think Utah is clearly, in my opinion, clearly the best. They're the team to beat.
John Wilner with us on the Utah front. Kyle Whittingham talking to reporters. I'm going to read his quote. He says, "My guess is there's going to be two Super Leagues within the next 20 months to 4 or 5 years, and you better be on the right side of that line in the sand when that line is drawn, because everyone else is going to be left behind." How does that sit with you?
I think he's right. I thought a Super League is coming, you know, for a while. The only question is the timing. Now, is he talking about two Super Leagues meaning two super conferences, like a 2014 SEC and a 2014 Big Ten? Or does he mean there's a Super League with like 40 or 50 schools and then there's everybody else? I think that that's more likely than the Big Ten and the SEC each getting, you know, into the 24 team range. It's a little unwieldy, but we'll see. He's right in that there's going to be another major structural change to major college football. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's just when will it happen?
If you are like Utah, you have proof of performance, you know, if it kind of pencils out that you'll be a participant here in the next couple of years in the playoff, or you'll be sniffing around it, you have to think Utah is one of those teams that's working real hard to go, how do we get in there with the Big Ten or the SEC teams if this does divide into the Super Leagues? But how many teams do you think will get in? Is it a 40 thing? Is it 36? Is it 60? You tell me. What's too big and what's the right size?
The right size is whatever Fox and ESPN decide. That's kind of the cynical view, right? I think that ultimately the networks are going to play a huge role in how the whole thing is structured, because they don't want to pay top dollar for Minnesota against South Carolina or UCF against Purdue. You know, they want blue blood against blue blood. And, you know, where does that line, where does that list end? How many schools really have the ratings, the audience, the brand appeal to justify top dollar? I don't think it's more than, you know, 32, 36 at the most, and you could make a case it's 24. So I don't see any way ESPN or Fox or Apple or Amazon are going to pay Super League kind of money for 48 or more teams. There just aren't. It's just a waste of dollars for them.
How many teams do you think are kind of on that bubble? If you take, like, you know, the SEC and you kind of look at them and, you know, you can kind of go, you know, does Vanderbilt belong? No. You know, you look at the Big Ten, you can probably remove some schools. But is that, you know, how big is that group of teams that, like, Kyle Whittingham's talking about? How big is that room of teams that have to be worried about the line and getting over it?
I mean, it's pretty big. You know, if the SEC and Big Ten, well, the big thing is, what is the mechanism for creating that Super League? Is it the SEC and Big Ten joining forces with all of the schools that are currently in those leagues? Or is it booting schools out? Like, I think that's hard politically, because in some cases you have two schools in the same conference in the same state. And so then you're dealing with state politics, one trying to boot the other. Or is it more of an escape where the really big-time schools leave? It's easier to leave than it is to boot somebody else out. So I think if it's an exodus to a super league, then you're probably talking about like 32, and so that leaves another 30, 35 in the power conferences in a real bind. I think Utah would be on the border, to be honest. I think they would have a shot, but I think there's probably a few that would get in ahead of them. I don't know if, you know, Colorado and the Arizona schools, I'm not sure about them. And certainly the LA and Pacific Northwest schools would be in. Well, UCLA, I don't know. They'd probably take UCLA, but you could make a case that they don't have the brand appeal in football to justify it. But certainly USC, Washington, Oregon do.
Yeah, give me an idea. Like, I think UCLA's in trouble. And Deshaun Foster's comments at Big Ten Media Day, I mean, the story became he was unprepared. But I don't want to be down on a team before I've seen them play. But I'm looking at their season, Wilner, and I go, this could be really hard for them. And this next few years could be a slog for UCLA. How do you see it?
The last three decades have kind of been a slog for UCLA. I mean, they haven't won a Pac-12 title since 98. And a lot of those years, they have been very mediocre. I mean, it's not an elite football program by any stretch. And I think that it's going to be hard for their Olympic sports with the schlepping back and forth to the Midwest. We'll see how men's basketball does. But to me, UCLA they are the most interesting piece of this entire realignment experiment, because they haven't been very good at football, and that's how you define success, because their Olympic sports matter so much to the culture of the school and yet are facing this huge logistical challenge. Because they have money problems, exacerbated by having to pay Cal $10 million a year, there's just a lot going on there, and I don't think they are set up for success in the way Oregon is or USC.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. I asked my listeners what they were excited about as it pertained to this season that's upcoming. Let's just talk football here. Forget all the lawsuits, the transfer portal, NIL, the questions about the line in the sand, all that. But what are you excited about on the field?
Well, to me, this is all about the playoff. I think the playoff is going to change the entire regular season, because now if you've got a team that loses its second game on October 10th, it's not out of it. So there are going to be a handful of games that in the past have meant everything. You know, late season games between top five teams where the loser is out of the playoff race. Those games are probably going to have a little bit less meaning, because both teams in that situation would be playoff teams. But what's going to happen is that dozens and dozens of games that didn't matter are going to matter now in October and November, because there's going to be matchups of teams that have one or two losses playing each other, and they're both going to be in it. And so, because clearly two lost teams are going to make the playoff, and we might even see a three loss team get in. So I think that there are going to be, the playoff is going to dominate the whole thing from start to finish, and I think in a positive way.
Will it be, you know, those weekly shows that we got used to on ESPN with a four-team playoff, will there be more intrigue in those, or just in general in your mind, because we'll all be watching, instead of four teams, we'll be watching 12 or 15 teams that are hoping to be in that top 12?
Well, certainly the controversy and debate over the 11th team, because remember, one of the 12 spots goes to the best team in the group of five, and often that team is going to be ranked like 20th or 25th, right? Boise or Memphis or whoever. So really, from the power conferences, it's the top 11. So there's going to be as much debate over who's 11 as there has been over who was 4 in the old system, right? The last team in, so to speak. But I think we are going to have, you know, another 6 or 8 that have real claims on that last spot or two, and it's just going to create even more debate, more fodder for ESPN and Fox, and you know, and our podcast and everything. It's gonna be great.
I look forward to that. I have talked a little bit about the group of fives and the possibility that, you know, if they don't fare well this season in the CFP, if they don't fare well next year, let's say they get outscored 100-0 in, you know, by the SEC runner-up or the Big Ten runner-up, what do you think the future holds for the G5s in the playoff?
Well, the playoff does have a look-in in its contract, and I think it's 2027 or 2028, where it's possible they will change the format. And we could see the Group of Five team get steamrolled, right? Let's say it's Boise. They are going to be the 12 seed, and they would play the first weekend of the playoff. They would play on the road against the number 5 seed. Number 5 seed is a home team in that situation. So you're talking about Boise or Memphis or San Diego State, Tulane, against probably the runner-up in the Big Ten or the SEC, right? That's a good – or no, you know, that's a pretty good bet. Or Notre Dame. And that's going to be a tough, very tough game. There's no doubt. But on the other side of the coin is the potential for an antitrust lawsuit that the Group of Five could file against the Power Four, saying, look, you've got a 12-team playoff, and you're going to try to exclude us. That's not going to play. And if there's anything those Power Four conferences are afraid of, it's getting sued, antitrust lawsuit by the Group of Five. So I think that is kind of what will preserve that spot in the 12-team playoff for that Group of Five school.
John Wilner with us. All right, finally, before I cut you loose, you know, I had interviewed Dennis Miller, the president of the CW. He had a lot of interesting things to say about Oregon State, Washington State, and how the CW is kind of, you know, on the rise as a sports player in that media space. Kind of a nice fit in that way with Oregon State, Washington State, who have to be aggressive. How do you see that TV partnership this season playing out for those two schools?
I mean, I think it's a great – they got the best deal they could have asked for, which is, you know, a lot of games on a broadcast network that has huge reach coast to coast and has another property in the ACC that it can use to promote the Pac-2 games, right? I mean, they're going to go – I think you reported, right? There's going to be some doubleheaders, ACC straight into Pac-2, Pac-12. So I think it worked out very well. And it could continue. The issue is going to be, what conference are Washington State and Oregon State in the fall of 2026? And is the CW going to be the media partner for that conference? Or will it be, you know, Fox or CBS, because they currently are the partners for the Mountain West?
That'll be really interesting. And I also think, you know, you kind of hit on this. You know, they need to be competitive. They need to be good. Washington State winning 8 games would be great for the cause, right? Because beyond that, beyond being accessible, you want to be good, and you want to prove to people that you belong on that stage. I just don't know, you know, I just don't know how much is out there. You know, what do you make of Brett Yormark sort of hinting around about expansion, or, you know, that they, you know, new windows? I when he said that, you know, looking for new windows, Oregon State and Washington State fans were waving their arms going, hey, we're out here. We have windows. You know, is any of that talk real, or is it just smoke in your mind until you see a TV or media company interested?
Well, I think it's just smoke with regard to Washington State and Oregon State getting into the Big 12. I really am very, very skeptical that's going to happen. I do think the Big 12 would be interested in some of the ACC schools if that conference breaks apart. But for the most part, I think we are here in a smoke zone for everything until Florida State. If Florida State or Clemson are successful in their lawsuit and they get out of the ACC's grant of rights, North Carolina will also leave. That conference will probably, you know, break apart. Then we'll see some real movement. But until then, I think it's all smoke. And I just don't see a way Washington State and Oregon State are getting into the Big 12 or the ACC. It's just very – that's a tough path for them to travel for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I think they need complete chaos. I mean, they would need some kind of moment that, you know, redefined what that next tier is after the Big Ten and the SEC. John Wilner, you're the best. I appreciate you, man.
You're right, though. Yeah, they got a lot of eyeballs on them in September. They got to win. You're right. They got
to
win.
They have to.
They've
got to
win that day.
They've got to win some games. They've, you know, in Washington State, I don't think Oregon State can beat Oregon 100 times out of 100. Not this year. But Washington State could beat Washington. Like, that game is going to be dicey for the Huskies.
Yep. They've got to, at least for both schools, they at least have got to be competitive in those two showcase games.
John Wilner, thank you. You're the best.
Thanks, my friend.
There he goes. Catch him on an all-new episode of Canzano and Wilner, the podcast. Up next, our big splash.